You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
This morning I want to talk about God is your safe haven. Do you believe that this morning? God is your safe haven. He is your place of refuge. And when you come to God's refuge is filled with the sweetness and the authority and the power of God's word. And you will see, because of God's word and because of his promises are yes and amen, you will actually see the spiritual fruit, the outcomes of God's promises in your life. Who's got a promise here this morning? I've got a promise here this morning. Psalm 46:1 says, God is your refuge and your strength. He's always ready to help you in times of trouble. Psalm 119 and verse 103 says, how sweet are your words, God, your living promises to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And in Romans 1:13, Paul says, I desire, I'm waiting to see spiritual fruit that has been promised to me. So this morning, as we come around the word, God is your refuge. And when you come into that refuge, it is filled with the sweetness of God's word. And you will see spiritual fruit of God's promises. And I really want to look in the life of Hannah this morning. So if you turn with me to your Bibles or online to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to go through the story of Hannah. If you're with us online this morning, I want to welcome you to the word of God. And it's so good that you can be with us. So God is your refuge. Amen. God is your refuge. And so for Hannah, the house of the Lord, his presence, his words, we see in the life of Hannah that this became a refuge to her. Because Hannah made God her refuge and strength. And because of this, she actually saw spiritual fruit come into her life. We're going to start with 1 Samuel verse 1. There was a certain man, and I'm not going to attempt all these extra words and where he was from, but there was a certain man and his name was Elkanah. And Elkanah, it says in verse 2, it said he had two wives. Oh, Lordy. Two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Penaniah. And Penaniah had children, but Hannah had none. And verse 3, it says, year after year, this man, Elkanah, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. Verse 4, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penaniah and to all her sons and daughter. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Verse 6, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival Penaniah kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and could not eat any longer. You know, as we go through these scriptures, it says there was a certain man and his name was Elkanah. Elkanah was Hannah's husband. But there was a certain man. God's refuge will send God's strategic person to your life. There was a certain man for this strategic time with a strategic purpose from God. And in this strategic place in Hannah's life, God brought about a certain man. Never discount the certain man that God brings into your life, the certain woman of influence that God brings into your life. He will send them strategically to you to come into your life to encourage you with the word of God. God has orchestrated and planned this for you specifically in the seasons of your journey. It's the one who encouraged you to come to church. It's the certain woman like Fiona Snyder-Johnson who leads you into the very presence of God. Never discount the certain woman and the certain man that God brings into your life strategically for a time and a place and a season, because God wants to encourage you with the word of Lord. Never discount the pastor that encourages you to come to church. Never discount the praying mother and the praying father who's always speaking protection over your life. Never discount what God is doing. Never underestimate when God uses you to be that certain person. 1 Samuel 1:2, he had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Hannah's barrenness, the Bible said, came from God. It came from God himself closing her womb. And what Hannah had not seen yet is that God was going to do something new in her life. It was outside of the natural. This was something that was going to be birthed in the spirit. When God births his plan into your spirit, first he must open up your spirit wide. Why? To receive the spiritual word from God. And we see this in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit did this with Lydia. In Acts 16:14, it says, the Lord opened up her heart to pay attention to the word of the Lord that was being spoken by a certain man named Paul. And because the Holy Spirit opened up her spirit to receive this seed, to receive this word, it says that Lydia responded with an open heart. But for Hannah, her focus on being barrenness, her focus was making her rigid. She wanted a baby without knowing the purpose of how God wanted to birth a double portion of blessing in her life, greater plans than what she knew in this new season that was to be her life as a mother. She couldn't see yet, but God was moving her on a journey from general knowledge to revelational knowledge and what he could do. That's what God is doing in your life. At times we can become so rigid, so focused, but God wants to move you from knowledge that is general, that can make us stuck, and he wants to breathe his word into your spirit and reveal to you what God is doing about your promises. Isaiah 43:18, my favorite verse says this, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. My friends, this morning, do not dwell on general knowledge. Do not dwell on what you see in the natural. See, God says, Isaiah says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? You know, that's revelation. Right there, you're moving from dwelling on the natural to seeing something in the spirit that you cannot see in the natural, seeing in the spirit what it is that God is wanting to do. He's wanting to do a new thing. Desire is there for a reason, but the way God brings it about, it's going to be new. It's going to be from God. It's going to be filled with revelation. I am making a way in the wilderness and I am providing streams in your wasteland. Verse 3, year after year, Elkanah, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. God is growing your spirit. When this certain man, when this certain pastor, when this certain parent comes into your life and ushers you and encourages you to come to the house of the Lord, it's because God is trying to grow your spirit. Year after year, this certain man, Elkanah, her husband for this appointed season and time, was teaching Hannah to go to the house of the Lord, to worship, growing her spirit, causing her to see in the spirit what God wanted to do in her life. What was to happen to Hannah was not going to come from the natural. It was going to be birthed in her spirit because it is only what the spirit could manifest and make real. The presence of God was growing her spirit to receive God's plan of only what he could do. Don't discount when you're in the house of the Lord. God is growing your spirit this morning. Don't discount when he ushers you into his presence, whether online, whether in church, God is growing your spirit. On one hand, it says in 1 Samuel 1, 6-7, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival, Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year, and whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. On one hand, Hannah is learning to worship. She is experiencing the presence of God. But on the other hand, how is it that at the house of God, how is it that as she's going to church, it has become such a confrontational and an emotional trigger for her? Knowing that Penaniah was going to taunt her, she would expect it. Every time I come to the house of the Lord, I know that Penaniah is going to trigger me. I know that she's going to taunt me and she's going to be cruel to me. How is it that the house of God, you can come into the presence of God and be so triggered by the enemy's cruelty at the same time? You know, Hannah, she needed to hear the sweetness of God's word. Your spirit needs to hear the sweetness of God's word. Psalm 119 verse 103 says, "How sweet are your words, your living promises to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." God's language, God's voice, it is sweet and it does not leave you with a bitter taste like cruel words from the enemy. Hannah was learning to discern, learning who to pay attention to and who not to entertain in this specific season. Though she taunted Hannah, Hannah never, ever responded to Penaniah. Let me say that again. Even though she taunted Hannah, she was irritating her. She was poking the bear. Hannah never responded, not once, to Penaniah. She did not react to her. Clearly, Hannah was not coping. She was crying. Her disposition had completely changed. She wasn't eating, but she never directed any of those emotions. She never directed any of that cruelty back to Penaniah. It was demanding her attention. It was flagging her down, but she would not redirect her focus and would never submit to what the enemy was doing. Ephesians 6:12, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. My friends, this morning, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. It's not in the natural. For our struggle, the Bible says, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. It's against the principalities and the powers. It's against the evil in the heavenly realms. Hannah is experiencing great adversity. Hannah has experienced a season of barrenness. So how is it that you and I deal with those seasons, those times that come fairly frequently of adversity? You know, our life will experience trouble regularly, and our responses need to be challenged and healed. Our responses need to be challenged and healed. We need to grow in discernment. Who we listen to will determine our behavior. So how is it this morning? How do you identify when adversity comes your way? Do you deal with adversity by lashing out? Anger becomes your defense against adversity. Or do you deal with adversity by hiding away? You know, if I can just get far away from that trouble, from whatever that challenge is, if I can just hide myself away, then it doesn't really exist. Do you deal with adversity by pretending everything's okay? You know, how are you this morning? Oh, I'm great. Praise the Lord, everything, the promises of God. And you're so low in your spirit because of the adversity. You deal with it by pretending everything's okay. And lastly, you deal with adversity by running away. I think we can safely say today that we have been in all these realms of reactions to adversity. But God is so much greater and wants to do so much more when adversity comes to trigger our ways. You know, the stress of adversity, it's a physical symptom, but it is not the root cause of the problem. So how do we deal with the weeds of adversity? You know, we just need to never underestimate the refuge of God's presence. Never, ever take for granted, never underestimate the power of God's presence to heal you, to speak to you, and to restore you in those times of adversity. And the sweetness of his words that give counsel and wisdom to know what to do and how to go about it. Psalm 31:20 says it like this: you hide them in the shelter of your presence. He hides us. He hides us in the shelter, in the refuge of his presence, safe from those who would conspire against us. You shelter us in your presence, God, far from accusing tongues. Let adversity draw you to the shelter of his presence, to bring shelter, to bring protection, to bring safety, but to bring his words of healing to your life. In Matthew 13, it says this incredible story in verses 24 from the Message. Jesus told another story. God's kingdom is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. That night, while his hired men were asleep, his enemy sowed thistles all through the good wheat and slipped away before dawn. Doesn't that sound like the enemy? When the first green shoots appeared and the grain began to form, the thistles showed up too. The farmhands came to the farmer and said, "Master, that was clean seed that you planted, wasn't it? Where did all these thistles come from?" And he answered, "Some enemy did this. Some enemy sowed this." And the farmhands asked, "Should we weed out the thistles?" And he said, "No. If you weed the thistles, you'll pull up the wheat too. Let them grow together until harvest time. Then I'll instruct someone else, not you. I don't want you to confront it. I don't want you to deal with the weeds that the enemy is confronting you and triggering with you in your life. I'm going to instruct other men to keep you out of the weeds. I'm going to instruct the harvesters to pull up the thistles and tie them in bundles for the fire, then gather the wheat and put it in the barn. Let God deal with your adversity. Let God confront the enemy of your adversity. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. Through God's grace, he will give you the ability and the strength of his supply to take authority over those enemies. But it has to be done God's way. This is the season, through the authority of Jesus Christ, where we will shake off the enemy's attempts to bite us. For Hannah, the very place of unrest, the house of Shiloh, the house of God, the very place of unrest was to become the greatest resting place of her life. For you and I today, the very place of unrest, by the Spirit of God, by his presence, God will become to you the greatest resting place for your life. 1 Samuel 1:8, her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Hannah, my love, why don't you eat? What is going on, Hannah? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Elkanah knew she was not eating. He knew why she was not crying. So what was God doing? And I believe that there the refuge and the sweetness was coming into Hannah's life through God's perspective. Through Elkanah's conversation with her, he was building perspective into her life. "Hannah, you have me. You have me, and I love you, and I am your husband. Am I not worth more than 10 sons to you?" You know, God wants you to recognize the supply that he has already given abundantly into your life, that he has given to you. That is your testimony in your adversity. Your supply that God has already given to you, that is your testimony when you are in adversity. If God has done it before, if God's promises are yes and amen, he is going to fill my barren womb. Hannah's focus had become so strong, the adversity so great, that perspective, even emotions, needed to be challenged. So she could understand. So she could let a little bit of revelation knowledge come into her rigidity, that God's perspective would come into her spirit, that she could recognize that God was going to be the answer to her barrenness. 1 Samuel 1:9 to 10, once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house, and in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Look at the change. Just with a little bit of challenge to Hannah's thinking, just with a little bit of God's perspective now starting to come into her spirit, there's some new ground that's coming into her. She was stuck, but the Spirit of God was pulling Hannah to her feet. Her focus had changed. Hannah got up and went to pray. She wasn't crying. She wasn't not eating. She got up and went in to the house of the Lord. Shiloh was where God's presence was. Shiloh was the place of rest. God's presence goes beyond your adversity, and He is already there ahead of you to meet you. Never underestimate the Spirit of God to raise you up for what is trying to keep you grounded. And the Holy Spirit, He does two things. He does many things, but I'm going to take two things. Number one, He pulls you out of your ditch and stands you on solid ground. And secondly, He has got you covered. He has got you. He has got your back this morning, my friends. Romans 8:26, it says our victory is in Christ. Amen. In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray, to offer, or how to offer as we should, but the Spirit Himself, He knows our need, and at the right time intercedes on our behalf, and groanings too deep for words. Paul is saying that because of our weakness, we don't know what to pray for at times, but the prayers we ought to are offered to us by the Holy Spirit. And this is what it's like. You know, empathy in our world today, empathy is awesome. Empathy is something that we should all step out into and be compassionate to one another. But empathy does this. Say in my barrenness right now, Hannah is in a ditch. Empathy would tell me to go down into the ditch with her and sit with her and maybe just put my hand on my arm and saying, I'm so sorry that you're going through this right now. I don't know what to say, but I'm here. I'm here with you. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is so much better than what the world has to offer. He goes beyond empathy of what the natural is limited to do. And He goes from general knowledge to revelational knowledge. And He knows exactly why you're stuck in that pit. He knows exactly what that barrenness is. He knows exactly the emotions that you're feeling. And the Holy Spirit, unlike a person, goes into the ditch with you. He takes you by the hand. He looks into your eyes. He knows exactly what to pray to get you out of that ditch, and He pulls you out of that ditch and on to your feet. When you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit does. Secondly, He's got your back. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete. From the ditch, the Holy Spirit pulls you to feet. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete. What does this mean? It's the one who comes alongside of you. Your back's covered this morning. Your promises are covered. Your emotions are covered. Your adversity is covered this morning. This is the one who comes alongside of us. Your backs are covered. You know, paraclete is an ancient battle military term. Your battle partner was called your paraclete. And what would happen is with Greek soldiers, when they would go out to fight, there would be one person on this side and there would be another one on the back of me, and they would come out to the battlefield. And you know what this means? That no matter where you go, no matter where the enemy is coming from, your back is always covered. And this is what the power of the Holy Spirit is in your life. The enemy cannot get to you because your back is covered. He is the one who is fighting for you. This is not a fight in the natural. This is a fight that only the Spirit can accomplish in your life today. He is your wingman. You can rely on Him. He will cover you. God's faithfulness, my friends. If you have a promise today, God's faithfulness is strengthening you this morning. Hannah was longing to see a child. What is it that you are longing for this morning? What does your barrenness look like? What does your barrenness sound like today? Hannah was longing to see a child. God knows what you are longing for, right down to the most accurate, minute detail, because that's the accuracy and the power of the Holy Spirit's knowledge into your life. I'm getting passionate this morning. I try and smile sweetly, but it doesn't stay. Hannah got up. Church, this morning, if you have a promise, get up this morning, not literally. Get up this morning in your spirit. Hannah prayed. The Spirit of God is telling us this morning and encouraging. If you have a promise with God, even though adversity will come, I promise you, will come, because when it's of the Spirit, the enemy does not want to see it come into this world. Hannah prayed. Hannah got up. James 5:13 says this, if anyone among you is afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil, he or she should pray. 1 Samuel 1:11, and this is what Hannah said. This is what she did. She started to pray. She made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget me, God, but give me a son, then I will give him back to you all the days of my life. Jeremiah 29:12 says, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, God says to you this morning, he will listen. And this was a turning point for Hannah. This was a turning point that came through prayer. This was a turning point. Are you looking for a turning point in the promise that God has sown into your spirit? Hannah's turning point was prayer. Today, our turning point is prayer. And my house shall be called a house of prayer. And for a turning point to occur, change needs to take place. Change means uncertainty, stepping out of your comfort zone, and it tests our resilience. But you are not alone this morning. The Holy Spirit is helping you to pray with accuracy. John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you of all things, and he will remind you of everything. He will remind you of every accurate detail that you need to sow into that promise. He will teach you. 1 Samuel. And we see Hannah has just prayed. Hannah has just stood up. She's poured her heart out to the Lord. And then Eli, the priest who was sitting by the doorpost, Eli answers her, Hey, Hannah, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him. Hey, Hannah, I need to remind you that God has heard your prayer, and that promise and that cry and that distress, God has seen and heard you, and he wants to tell you, Hannah, that your barrenness is over. I have put a seed of promise, and his name is Samuel, into your spirit. This morning, God has your answer for you, and God will bring confirmation to your life. She said to him, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. My friends, this morning, she didn't have a baby in her arms. She had a baby that was birthed by a promise of seed into her spirit. And she knew that she knew that she knew that God had heard her prayer. Psalm 27 says this, for he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary as the team comes. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices and shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. You know, Hannah was full of God's promise of a child. God had spoken to her spirit, and she was now seeing in the spirit, not general knowledge anymore, but revelation knowledge. What was concealed, what was covered has now been made known to Hannah, and she knows she has been heard by God. It says, 1 Samuel 1:19, early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. Imagine Hannah's worship. She had just been heard by God. She wasn't not eating anymore. She wasn't crying. She was worshiping God. That's the very first thing she wanted to do. God, you've heard me. God, you've answered my prayer. And all I want to do is worship you. I just want to praise you. And then they went back home at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Because I asked the Lord for him. Because I asked. Because I went to the house of the Lord. Because even though Penaniah was at me, I didn't respond to what the enemy was doing, and I got up on my feet and I went into his presence, because that's what the certain prophetic man told me what to do, because he knew I was going to carry a promise when I didn't know it myself. So I responded and I got up and I went to the house of the Lord. If you have got a promise in your heart, if you have got an aching in your spirit, in your barrenness, come to the house of the Lord. Come to the house of the Lord. Come to the house of the Lord. Come into his presence and pour out your heart, where you will move from general knowledge to what has been concealed, and you will know it in your spirit. Jeremiah 32, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for your marriage? Is there anything too hard for your barrenness? Is there anything too hard for your children? Is there anything too hard in your workplace? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Can we stand this morning in the presence of God? Father, I pray, as we come into your presence right now, there is no one like you. Nothing is too hard for you. And the promise of what you have spoken into our spirit, even though the enemy will come, this is not a battle in the natural, because it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by my abilities. It's not going to be by my power. It's going to be by the Spirit, says the Lord.